Good morning, church family. Pastor Bruce here on our unique Sunday experience. It's going to be an interesting one. Things have developed since yesterday when I told you what was going to happen. So we actually have some other people that are going to join us this morning. And yeah, we're going to have a great time of worship. I hope you and your family are snuggled in tight and you're ready to worship Jesus and praise his name and hear from his word in this awesome, unique snowstorm sermon. So I'm excited and I'm thrilled that we get to do this and that we have the capability to still celebrate as a church family. What I'm going to ask you to do this morning is we're not together. So hit, you know, if you're in a place where you're either on your phone or a laptop or a computer or something, I'd encourage you to comment, interact with people throughout this, make this a very unique and interact as much as we possibly can, like some things here and there if you're able to. This is the best way we can interact right now together since we're all in our homes, hopefully safe and warm and the different places that we're in. So it's going to be a great time of worship this morning. I love when we get to do things different and do things a little more unique than what we might normally do them as. And so I would encourage you to celebrate that, to lean into that, not to get frustrated that things aren't the way that we, you know, wanted them to be. I would have loved to be been in the church this morning with you all and celebrating and, you know, trudging through the snow. But I think this was our safest option. Keep everybody safe and not even temptation to try to drive and get in an accident or something like that. We're not going to stop. We're not going to allow a little snowstorm to stop us. Church family, good to be with you this morning. Have you ever noticed how quickly we can tell when someone is doing something that they are clearly not gifted at? Something that's certainly not in their wheelhouse. Like the person who volunteers to sing and everyone else in the room suddenly realize why the Bible talks about making a joyful noise. If I was joining you for worship this morning, you would have been reminded that God only asks us to make a joyful noise. It doesn't actually have to be good. So I love that my kids were able to do that. Or maybe the well-meaning guy who offers to fix something and says, hey, don't worry about it. I watched a YouTube video. I'm ready to go. This is actually, it's not very comforting. And actually a story from my past is when I lived in Morgantown, West Virginia, we had a bad storm roll through and I lost some shingles. And so I threw it out on Facebook. I'm like, hey, if anybody knows how to do this, I'm going to go grab some shingles and I'm going to fix my roof. I've never done anything remotely close to roofing. But if anybody can help me with this, that'd be great. So one of the guys from my small group shows up. We get up on the roof. I'm like, all right, so what do we do? He's like, I don't know. He's like, I've never done this either. And so we both realized at the same time that neither one of us knew what we were doing. And I had shingles, I had some nails and a hammer, and we made it happen. So that wasn't the most encouraging thing. Neither one of us were in our gifting. Some of you that know roofing, you probably think well, that's really easy. So, but I'd never done it. So that was my first time at that. We all know that feeling when someone is serving outside their gifting and it is showing that it's not their gifting. But here's the other side of that. Have you ever been a part of a church or a group where a lot of people were very clear on what they were not gifted at, and therefore they never seemed to want to serve anywhere because all they could acknowledge was that's not where they're gifted? You hear things like, well, I'm not a people person. I'm not gifted with kids. I'm not gifted at cleaning. I'm not gifted at tech. I'm not gifted at showing up earlier. I'm not an early riser. God didn't bless me that way. What can happen is we start to believe, if I don't know my gift yet, well, I'll just sit back. And if I'm not really good at something, well, I'll let someone else handle it. And if it's not my thing, then I'm probably not needed there. If it's not something I'm an expert at, or it's not something I'm really good at, then I'm probably not needed. I probably shouldn't do it. What that mindset can leave us with is this idea that contribution is optional within the family, within the body of Christ, or that serving is only for the especially gifted, the especially spiritual, or the especially available. Well, other people's schedules must be better than mine. That's why they're able to serve, right? But that's not how the church was designed. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about this progression together, from consumer to contributor, from attending toward building toward maturity is the kind of the journey we've been on. And today we take the next step in that. We're not letting a snowstorm get in the way, because maturity doesn't just change how much we know. It changes how we show up. It changes what happens when we show up. And today we're talking about being called to contribute. as we've already thoroughly covered, and maybe you're sick of hearing it already, but we're going to continue talking about it. We're all called to contribute. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. If you have a copy of God's word, I encourage you to open it up in your homes, grab a Bible together, family, because we don't have slides. I don't have ProPresenter on my computer at home, so I don't have the ability to do slides. So go ahead and grab your physical Bible. Great time. Maybe, hopefully you don't have to dust it off, but grab that thing, and we're going to dive into God's word here. We're going to be bouncing around just a little bit this morning, but we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I'm reading from the ESV, as always. He says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." We've read this verse many times already. You've heard me talk about this. And that contribution that he's talking about takes two forms. Sometimes it flows out of our spiritual gifting, and sometimes it flows out of a simple willingness to be available for whatever God needs. Not everything that needs to be done in the church requires a spiritual gift. That's kind of a big part of what we're talking about this morning. But everything that needs to be done requires somebody willing to say yes. Whether it requires a spiritual gift or not, it requires somebody willing to say yes. And here's the freeing part. We're not all called to do the same thing. You don't have to look across the aisle and think, well, I'm not doing what they're doing, so I must not be as good a Christian, or I must not be as faithful of a Christian. We're all called to contribute. We're all called to do something, but as we contribute, sometimes through our gifting and sometimes through our availability. So today we're going to spend some time understanding the spiritual gifts that God has given his church and see how those gifts are meant to build one another up, not draw attention to ourselves, and be reminded that even when we're still discovering our spiritual giftings, there's always a place to serve, to love, and to contribute within the family of God. This isn't about pressure. It's not about guilt. If you have felt pressure or guilt, maybe that's my poor communication skills coming across, or maybe it's because God has already placed something on your heart and you've been holding off. You've been putting it off. You've been saying no to God or wait to God, and he's putting a little bit of that pressure on you. But there's no intention on my part to pressure anybody. I don't want us to serve out of obligation, but out of the overflow of our hearts is where I want us to serve. And it's definitely not about filling volunteer slots. It's not like, well, there's some critically low area in our church, and that's why this sermon series came about. It has nothing to do with that. It's about becoming the kind of church where every part is alive, is engaged, and is contributing just like God designed. God always designed the body so that every part would work together in unison for its own health. Before we look at specific gifts, we need to remember why the gifts exist at all. We'll pop over to Ephesians chapter 4 real quickly. We're already in Ephesians chapter 4. Sorry. Moving on to verses 15 and 16. "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." That's the purpose of our giftings, is to build one another up in love. Spiritual gifts are not about personal fulfillment. They're not about spiritual status, and they're not about platform building. They're about body building. See what I did there? See, I can't hear you laugh. Not that some of you ever laugh anyhow at my jokes, but it really is. That's what the gifts are for. They're for body, building up the body. Not so that we look good, but so that we are strong. We're all given gifts to build the body. Across the New Testament, we see three primary passages that talk about our spiritual giftings. Ephesians chapter 4, which we've been in a lot, Romans chapter 12, and 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to be touching in all three of those this morning. So if you want to, you know, prep that in your Bible, you can do that. But these are different lists, different emphases, but the same purpose behind each of them. Flipping over to Romans chapter 12. Verses 4-8 says, "For as in one body we have many members, and members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." These are all different gifts. Notice what Paul doesn't say here. He said, he doesn't tell us to figure out our gift and then admire it and then be proud of it and then pat ourselves on the back for this gift that God gave us. He doesn't say to wait until the conditions are perfect to utilize your giftings. Wait until you've attended a class or done a training or done some assessment before you can do that. He says, let us use them. The commonly recognized gifts across these passages, we're going to get a little clinical here for just a little bit. If you are a note taker, I'd encourage you. This is a great time to take some notes because, again, we don't have slides or otherwise some of this stuff would have been on slides. We're going to go through the different gifts at least 21 of the gifts that are pretty common that you see across these three passages. It's not an exhaustive list. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And so if there's a gifting that you feel like God has given you and you feel like it's directly from the Spirit and it's not in the list here, don't worry about that. I'm not saying these are the only gifts that God can utilize within his kingdom. This is just a great starting point. If you're struggling, if you're wondering, if you're trying to discover, it's a great place to start. So let's kick it off. One of the first gifts is apostleship. What it is it's a pioneering, sent out gift to establish, to strengthen, and to expand gospel work. What it looks like in the church is launching new ministries, helping shape vision, mentoring leaders, strengthening systems. That's what that gift of apostleship does. And beyond the church, outside the church walls, this looks like church planning and missions and starting gospel-centered initiatives in new spaces. These are people that go to places and they start things that nobody thought about or people thought about, but nobody really had, they didn't know where to start. And the gift of apostleship just, it goes, you know, it sees this new thing and it runs after it. And it's trying to take the gospel to new areas, to do things in creative ways. It's a great, all these gifts are great. But it's one of those great gifts that goes into places that are unknown or unreached and thrives in that environment. The second gift we'll talk about is prophecy. What it is speaking God's truth with clarity and conviction, strengthening, exposing, and calling the church back to faithfulness, but it's always tested by scripture. We're not talking about prophecy as in like, well, this is someone who can still speak new scripture. That doesn't happen. This is somebody who speaks God's word in a way. So in the church, it's calling the body to repentance, to clarity, courage, and alignment with God's word. It's saying, this is what God's word says, and this is what we should do about it. That's the gift of prophecy. It's the ability to communicate God's word in a way that people can receive, can process, and motivates them to action. That's what the prophets of old did a lot of. God said this, this is what you should do. And it motivated people to action. Beyond the church, outside the walls, it looks like speaking truth with love in a confused culture, addressing injustice, compromise, or drift biblically, and calling people back to know this is what the word of God says. That's the gift of prophecy. The next gift, the third gift we'll look at is evangelism. What it is a spirit-given effectiveness in clearly sharing the gospel and helping people take steps toward Jesus. These are those people that just seem to like, you've been maybe ministering to somebody for years and this person walks in, has a conversation with them and they receive Christ. I mean, this is like this amazing gift where they're just really, really good at it. That doesn't mean they're the only ones that are supposed to spread the gospel. You don't need a gift to be faithful with the gospel, but these people just have they have a special gifting inside of that. What it looks like in the church is training others to share their faith, keeping the church outward focused, sharing the gospel and making sure that the church is gospel centered. It never becomes just a club for Christians, but that we're always looking outside and making sure that the church is about building up the saints and also reaching the lost. Outside of the walls of the church, I mean, that's really where this gift thrives, is personal conversations, community outreach, relational gospel sharing. These people they can't help but like continuously engage people in conversation, always working toward the gospel and the kingdom. Fourth gift we'll talk about is shepherding or pastoring, depending how you want to define that word. And what it is a deep care for the spiritual well-being of people over time. That's what shepherds did. They cared for the sheep over long periods of time. They made sure they were fed, watered, healthy. When they were hurt, they take care of them. That's what the gift of shepherding is. Inside the church, it looks like small groups, discipleship, counseling, walking with people through life. They're really good at caring for people and ensuring that people feel cared for, not just that they are, but that they feel loved and cared for. Beyond the church, outside the walls, that's long-term spiritual care for people who don't yet belong anywhere. Or maybe they belong, but they don't feel like they have a home or a family. Shepherding people that have this gift of shepherding love to just collect people and love on them and make sure that they're cared for. It's always for their good. It's, you know, it's meant to motivate people and push them toward Christ. That's what this gift does very, very well. Fifth one we'll talk about is teaching. What it is, a spirit-enabled ability to explain the scripture in a way that helps people understand, apply, and then grow through that application. What it looks like inside the church is Sunday school, Bible studies, small groups, youth and children teaching, equipping others with sound doctrine. Teachers love to teach. Now, teaching and preaching are very different. I will point that out, that they're not the exact same gift. I've seen great teachers who just aren't very good preachers. They get a little bit too bogged down in information and in the, you know, technicalities of words or things like that, and they're hard to follow at times. And the preaching is just a very different gift, so I just want to be clear on the difference between those two. But outside the church, beyond the church, it looks like apologetics, one-on-one Bible reading, answering spiritual questions thoughtfully. These are people that are great to engage people through conversation. Like, hey, let's grab coffee, let's talk about the word. You know, especially people who are intellectual and want to engage the gospel intellectually as far as evangelism goes. So that it's just as effective outside the church as it is inside the church. The next gift we're looking at is exhortation or encouragement. What it is strengthening people with timely words that inspire faith, obedience, and perseverance. These are the ones that are just have a unique gift to know when to say a word or when someone needs that little bit of push, little bit of encouragement. Inside the church, it looks like counseling, follow-up, spiritual coaching, encouragement during trials. And beyond the church, outside of the walls, it's coming alongside discouraged people offering hope grounded in truth. That's this awesome gift of exhortation and encouragement. I know a lot of you have that because, you know, on Sunday, you can't walk past me without giving some word of encouragement or, you know, it's awesome. I love it. I love to see it in use. It's a very helpful gift within the church to help us be healthy. Number seven is wisdom. What it is knowing what to do with what we know. That's kind of how I like to phrase it. What we know, what to do with what we know. Spirit-guided insight for real-life decisions, counsel, and direction. What it looks like inside the church is leadership decisions, conflict resolution, guidance during uncertainty. These are those that know how to take the knowledge they have and turn it into wisdom. If you've heard the old adage, you know, knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit, and wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. So that's taking knowledge and making it useful. That's this gift of wisdom. And beyond the church, outside of it, looks like godly counsel at work and families and during crises. They can offer great insight into this is how we apply God's word. This is how we apply good wisdom in our good knowledge or, you know, understanding in this situation. So great gift as well. Very useful. Number eight, knowledge. What it is a spirit-enabled grasp of truth that brings clarity and understanding. In the church, it looks like teaching, doctrinal clarity, helping others understand scripture deeply. And then beyond the church, it's answering hard questions, defending the faith thoughtfully. So a little different from wisdom is knowledge. Sometimes God will give people a word of knowledge. They don't really know what to do with it. I've had this happen in my life. People come up and just say, hey, God told me this. I don't really know what it means. So that's where it differs from wisdom. It's like, I don't know how to apply this, but this is something God gave me. That's not always what it is. That's kind of a prophetic word of knowledge. There is that gift of knowledge. They just know things. Like I said, a spirit-enabled grasp of truth that brings clarity. They might not even have that clarity, but it brings you clarity because they're able to present this knowledge to you. So a little different than wisdom in that way. Then we have the gift of discernment. What it is recognizing truth from error and spiritual health from danger. I had a friend of mine in ministry that had a great explanation of the gift of discernment, and I think it was timely for the church. He said, you know, the gift of discernment is not just being a jerk and hating everybody. And sometimes we think that's what I have the gift of discernment. I know that's a bad seed. Some of us just don't like anybody. That's not the gift of discernment. It's knowing what is God and what is not God. In the church, that's protecting doctrine, identifying unhealthy influences, and guiding wisely. It's not just seeing what's not good, but also being able to acknowledge what is good. And that's not our preferences. It's just being able to see God's hand in a moment or in a situation or in a person's life. Beyond the church, it's helping others navigate cultural messages, spiritual confusion, and false teaching to be able to say that's not God, or man, this is God. And so it's a very helpful gift when we have the gift of discernment. Number 10, the gift of faith. What it is an extraordinary trust in God's power and promises, especially in difficult moments. In the church, it looks like encouraging, bold, prayer, stepping forward when others hesitate. It's this, it looks like they're, the people that have this gift, it looks like they're just, you know, they take these crazy risks at times. And for them, it's not a risk at all because they have complete confidence and faith that God's going to show up. That's that extraordinary gift of faith. Beyond the church, it looks like trusting God publicly in uncertainty, inspiring others through confident obedience. It's an awesome gift. Love that gift in our leaders and in our people that just say, let's do it. Let's go. I believe God in this thing. It's not being clueless or denying good wisdom. It's simply acknowledging God is here and we're going to take a faithful risk here. Number 11, the gift of healing. And what it is God working through prayer to bring physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual healing. And I want to point that out because too often when you hear the gift of healing talked about, they only focus on the physical healing. And that's one small aspect of the healing process. I mean, you think about the woman with the issue of blood who touched Jesus' garment. She was healed physically, yes, but can you imagine the amount of emotional and mental and spiritual healing that she received in that moment when Jesus told her that she was whole and that she could go in peace and that her faith had made her what? Like, there's so much more beyond that. And so some of us, you don't have physical problems, but maybe you have emotional, mental, or spiritual healing that needs to happen. And so you should come to the front, let the elders, and the leaders in our church and those prayer warriors that we have anoint you and pray over you. It doesn't have to be like, hey, my ankle, I got a bum ankle or something. It could just be, hey, you know, mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever that thing is. So that's my little disclaimer there. Inside the church, what this looks like is prayer ministry, caring for the sick, pointing people to God's compassion. And so helpful in that. And then beyond the church, it's prayer for the hurting, demonstrating God's mercy and power. I believe strongly that this is one of those evangelistic gifts that is primarily used outside the church. One of the reasons we don't see it enough is we either aren't inviting the world into our spaces enough, or we're not going out to the world and being evangelistic enough in those spaces. I mean, you hear the stories of where God's doing these things, these crazy healings and things, you know, beyond reasonable doubt. It's usually in a place where people don't have faith and where they don't believe the power of God. And so he uses those things to demonstrate his power to lost people and to convince them that the missionaries or the people there are worth listening to. So the next gift, kind of in line with that, number 12 is miracles. And what it is God intervening in unmistakable ways beyond natural explanation. In the church, it looks like strengthening faith, glorifying God, not drawing attention to individuals. And beyond the church, it's testifying to God's power in impossible situations. Now, this is one of those gifts that's kind of like a gray area. It's like, what is it? What exactly is this? Because it can encompass a whole bunch of different things. But hey, it's in the Word of God, so we trust that this gift exists. And it just means that this person I would say this probably goes hand in hand with the gift of faith, trusting that God's going to show up in powerful ways. God's going to show up and show off, and that God's going to intervene in unmistakable ways, whatever that looks like. These are people that don't set the agenda for God, but they just show up and they're ready to see God move in powerful ways. The next gift I'm sure everybody is excited to talk about is the gift of tongues, number 13, tongues. What it is spirit-enabled prayer or praise expressed in a language not learned by the speaker. That's what this is. In the church, it looks like private prayer or public use governed biblically and orderly. And I want to make a little side note here. Scripture makes it very clear that every gift is meant to edify the church. And my experience with this gift has been in some circles, this gift was abused in a way to glorify self, to edify myself. Well, I'm going to show how spiritual I am by making a bunch of noises. And that's not the gift of tongues. As a matter of fact, the Word of God is pretty clear on how this is supposed to be done, and it's supposed to be done in an orderly fashion, and there's not supposed to be chaos. And so people that say, you know, hey, everybody pray in your spiritual language, and there's just absolute chaos. I mean, the Word of God is so clear against that. That doesn't mean the gift doesn't exist, and it doesn't mean we hide from it or we try to act like it doesn't exist because we're afraid it's going to be abused. That is letting fear rule our decisions. And so if it doesn't build others up, then it doesn't belong in the gathered body. If it's meant to glorify myself, if I'm doing it so that I look better or so that people notice how spiritual I am, that doesn't belong in the body of Christ. Because that's self-edification, and that's not what this gift is for. This gift is to lift high the name of Jesus. This gift is to glorify the power of the living God. And if it's not meant for that, then it doesn't belong in our shared space. And beyond the church, what this looks like is personal prayer life or evangelism. I mean, I've heard so many stories of how this gift has been used in powerful and profound ways to speak the gospel to people whose language a missionary or a person didn't know, or God has spoken a word to somebody. It's not just like weird noises. It's an actual language that God is using to praise, or some people have that private prayer language, but it's private. That's what it's meant to be. And so that's the gift of tongues. We could go down a rabbit hole on that, but we're not going to. And I can't even get any disapproving looks. So all I have is a camera to look at. So the next gift, number 14, interpretation of tongues, kind of goes along with that one. What it is making tongues understandable so listeners are edified. What it looks like in the church is ensuring order and clarity when tongues are expressed publicly by giving the definition, hey, this is what was said. And beyond the church, it's pointing people to God's word rather than confusion. So when a word is spoken in a language that people don't understand, this person is able to interpret, hey, this is what was just said. And sometimes, especially if it's in a context where there's people who don't understand what was said, in a lot of those contexts, again, in an evangelistic setting, they're going to understand exactly what was said. But there will be times where somebody doesn't. And this is that gift that's able to discern what that tongue was, what that language was. Moving on, number 15, helps. What it is supporting others so ministry can happen smoothly. Inside the church, that's set up, tear down, behind the scenes support, administrative assistance. These are people that just love to serve, love to meet needs, love to make sure that things get done a lot of times behind the scenes so that, that they know that the ministry can happen. They don't need brought up on stage and patted on the back and celebrated in front of everybody. They love to just help, especially when it's unseen. Beyond the church, it's serving quietly whenever help is needed. These are fantastic people who never get enough recognition because they don't want it. They want the glory to go to God, and it's an awesome gift. Number 16 is service. What it is meeting practical needs with joy and humility. Inside the church, it's cleaning, hospitality, logistics, care teams. Beyond the church, it's serving neighbors, community aid, tangible expressions of love. Yes, it's pretty similar to helps. But service is a little different because it's meeting those physical needs. Helps is doesn't always have to be physical needs, but this gift of service is a little bit different in that respect. Both awesome gifts, both very useful for the health and life of a church. Number 17, giving. What it is, a spirit-led generosity that fuels ministry and meets needs. Inside the church, that looks like funding ministry, missions, benevolence. Beyond the church, it's supporting gospel work, generosity toward those in need. This is those people that just love to give and not give because they're rich. That's the misconception of the gift of giving is, oh, these are rich people. No, that's not at all what this gift is. But these people are happy and joyful to give in a way that at times hurts, that sacrificial money they don't exactly have to give. They love to give because they know it's going toward God's work. That's the gift of giving. Then number 18 is gift of mercy. What it is a deep compassion for the hurting, broken, and vulnerable, moving toward pain rather than away from it, bringing comfort and care. This is a gift I told you, I very much appreciate Pastor Casey. It's a gift he exemplifies very well, has a gift of mercy, a deep, deep compassion, and Casey's happy to move toward pain rather than away from it. He's not going to run from somebody in pain. His first thought is, I need to call that person I need to go visit them. Inside the church, it looks like care ministries, counseling support, grief and crisis care. Sounds a lot like Pastor Casey's job role, right? Sounds like he's in the perfect place. Beyond the church, it looks like serving marginalized people, hospitals, shelters, and recovery spaces. It's a gift that obviously not just used inside the church, but outside the church, and incredibly helpful to make sure people are cared for. Number 19, the gift of hospitality. It's creating welcoming, safe spaces where people feel seen and valued. And I want to point out the word that's used in the Greek, I don't dive into the Greek too much, but the word for the gift of hospitality is actually specifically geared toward people we don't know. It's great that we do this for people we do know, for family and friends and, small groups and things like that. But I just want to be clear, this gift is primarily geared toward inviting people we don't know into spaces so that they feel need, so that they feel loved and they feel a place of belonging. Not just inviting the same 10 people over or inviting our own family over and not inviting new people in. I know some people been in the church long enough, they're like, I have the gift of hospitality, but they've not invited anybody new into their home in 3 decades. They just love to throw parties for their own people and in their own spaces and in their own cliques. That's not the gift of hospitality. So inside the church, it looks like greeting, meals, hosting groups, welcoming newcomers, hosting a small group. It's loving to share your space with people, whether they're new or familiar. And then beyond the church, it's opening homes and lives to neighbors and strangers. Great gift. Love people that have this gift because they just love to use their home as a ministry space. Number 20, leadership. What it is casting vision, motivating people, and giving and guiding direction inside of, you know, as people are moving. What it looks like inside the church is ministry leadership, team coordination, strategic planning. These people thrive in those areas. They love that stuff. Beyond the church, it's leading with integrity in workplaces, schools, and communities. A lot of times we refer to these people, not everybody that has the gift of leadership is an A-type, but they tend to be. They want to push further. They want to go, you know, go new places. They want to, you know, be strategic in the way that they think. So great gift, useful inside the church and outside the church. And our last one that we'll talk about this morning is the gift of administration. What it is organizing people, systems, and resources for effectiveness. Now, this gift gets confused a lot of times with the gift of leadership. Some people are really gifted at administration, but they don't want to be leaders. And they get forced into positions of leadership because they're really good at organizing people and creating systems, but they don't really like to lead people. And so they can fail at that task when given that, because that's not what they want. They really want to just organize the people, the systems, and resources, and increase efficiency in some of those things. Inside the church, it looks like scheduling, systems, planning, communication. They're really good at this stuff. And beyond the church, it's supporting kingdom work through organization and structure. So some of these gifts are public, and some are quiet. There's a pretty big list. I hope you stayed with me through all of that. Nobody fell asleep on their couches. But I want to be clear that, you know, some of these, they're up front, they're loud, they're visible, and some are quiet. Some are obvious and some are hidden. But every one of them matters, because when each part is working properly, the body grows. Now, let me just say that I want to be clear on this, because some of us are probably already starting to feel overwhelmed. Like, man, that was a lot. I couldn't even keep up. And maybe you were trying to take notes and you were struggling to take notes and you're hoping that, like, I'll send a handout, you know, let me know if you want that. I can send this list out to you with the definitions that I had here this morning. But the goal is not for us to finish the sermon thinking, I need to remember all 21 of these and I need to find out exactly what I have and I need to start using it today. Or I need to figure this all out immediately. I need to know which of those 21 I have and I need to put them to work this week or else I'm not a faithful or a good person. The goal is simply this. God did not design his church with extra parts. That's what the word of God tells us. If we belong to Christ, we belong in the body. Then that means that we matter. We are called to contribute, sometimes through our gifting and sometimes simply through our availability. And when we forget that, comparison creeps in. We have different gifts, but the same value. One of the dangers that Paul addresses head on is comparison. And so we're going to talk about that real briefly this morning before we finish up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 to 20, he says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." Did I go further than I was supposed to? No, I don't think I did. So some gifts are visible, like we talked about. Some gifts are vital, but they're hidden. And the word of God covers that. It doesn't mean, uses our physical bodies as a demonstration. It says, you know, the bodies that we think are the parts of our bodies that we think are of less honor, we cover up, right? That doesn't make them less honorable. And actually, we take more care to cover them. Maybe some of us should do a little bit more of that. But, we try to cover those parts, and that doesn't make them useless. It makes them, they get extra honor because they get, you know, taken care of in a special way. The church doesn't just need preachers or teachers or leaders. That's what we focus on. That's what we celebrate. That's, oh, this church is going forward because of the pastor. Oh, great things are happening here because of the pastor. That might be partially true, but if it was just the pastor, the church would not be moving very fast. If it was just me, it doesn't matter where God takes us in the future. It's not just because of me. It will never be because of me. Hopefully, it's always because of him. But there are, like I talked about, there are dozens and hundreds of people that are at work behind the scenes or not so behind the scenes in our church that are working faithfully to make sure that what happens at Antrim happens and that we can do what we do. So it also needs, we don't just need those out front, clear leadership type gifts. We also need faithful servants. We need quiet encouragers, and we need people who notice needs before anyone else does. Because I guarantee you, those leaders at the top, those apostleship, the leader, you know, people, they're not noticing that stuff. They're focused on where are we going next, and you know, how are we going to get there, and not always. Let's make sure the sheep are cared for. They're always looking for the next pasture to make sure that the body is healthy, that the sheep are healthy. But sometimes they forget about the immediate needs. Different gifts, but one source. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. No one is left out. No gift is wasted. And no contribution is insignificant in the kingdom of God. 1 Peter, flip on over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good steward of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. A simple way to help us discern our gifting without overcomplicating it is to ask ourselves these three questions. What kind of needs do we notice? Ask yourself that. What kind of needs do I notice within the church? Write those down. What comes to your mind immediately when you think of the needs of Antrim? What kind of serving gives us life even when it costs us? Even when it, you know, depletes our energy, or, you know, depletes our finances, or, you know, whatever it is, what kind of serving gives us life, even when it costs us? There's a good indicator there that that's somewhere that God has gifted you. If even when you have to sacrifice to do it, it's life-giving, it excites you, you're tremendously blessed by it. And then number three, where do others consistently say, and that really helped me, thank you so much, like that really helped, that you were able to bless somebody and serve somebody in a significant way, in a way that really mattered to them. Not all three of those are essential for every gift, but it's a good place to start. Even while you're figuring out your gifts out, we don't sit on the sidelines, because sometimes the most spiritual thing we can say is, there's a need and I'm available. That's a great spiritual conversation. And here's the good news. Even if we're still discovering our gifting, we're never disqualified from contributing. Just because you might say, well, I don't know which one of those 21 gifts I have, that doesn't mean that you're not in a place that you could utilize your gifting. We're called to contribute, sometimes through our gifting and sometimes simply through our availability. Sometimes contribution is about gifting. It's about willingness. Here's where we often get tripped up. Not every need in the church requires a spiritual gift. We talked about that. Some needs just require hands, time, availability, and a willingness to say yes. Flipping over to Philippians chapter 2. Verses 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. There's no spiritual gift of tearing down and setting up chairs. Trust me, I've looked. It's not in there. There's no spiritual gift of cleaning up after an event. Now, we could tie it to certain gifts. I know, the gift of helps or the gift of service. But helping where needed isn't glamorous, but it is spiritual. And you don't always need a spiritual gift to help in those areas, because service is not beneath maturity. It's evidence of it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You can say, I don't have to do that. Well, that's not where I'm gifted. But willingness isn't about filling a gap. It's about reflecting the heart of Christ. Sometimes we can get so focused on finding a place to utilize our unique gifting. And I can be guilty of this. I can preach on, we need to use our spiritual gifts. You need to know your spiritual gifts. You need to know how God's gifted you. You need to be faithful with that, the gift of the talents and all these things. But we can get so focused on that we miss opportunities that need a simple, yes, I'll help. I know if you walked the tables for our service fair last week, you notice that there's some things that they don't necessarily require a spiritual gifting. Like our hospitality team, they do a phenomenal job all throughout the year for dozens of events that happen at Antrim. And some of those people, they have that gift of service. They have that gift of helps. But they need a lot of people that are just willing to say yes, that are just willing to say, I'll show up. and just tell me what to do and I'll help out. I'll help set up, I'll help put tablecloths out, I'll help, you know, stir a pot, whatever needs done, I'll help with that. We need a bigger hospitality team. That's one of the things I want to throw out there and just kind of give a shameless shout out for our hospitality team, because they do a phenomenal job and they're not that big of a team. We could triple the size of that team, I think. And that would be about where we need to be for a church of our size. So throwing that out there, we have things upcoming like the Wild Game Dinner. We get so many people in our church that have either never heard the gospel or don't attend a church. And it's a great way to serve in a place of evangelism and just in service. There's a lot of the things that need done for that doesn't really require a spiritual gift. If you have that spiritual gift, it's great. But there's a lot of things that need done. They just need done. So there's things like that. Is what I want to encourage you to open your eyes to, not just trying to find out how to utilize your unique gifting, but where can we just say yes? We're all called to contribute, sometimes through our gifting and sometimes simply through our availability. So what can we take away from this today as we close up this morning? Well, let's keep this simple, because the goal isn't to leave overwhelmed, it's to leave mobilized. And you're not really leaving anywhere. Hopefully you're staying in your house because it's still snowing out there. But well, here's what we've seen. God gives gifts on purpose. He places us in the body intentionally. And he calls us not to comparison or passivity, but to contribution. Sometimes that contribution flows from our gifting. Sometimes it flows from our simple obedience. But it should always flow from love and from a heart to serve. So what do we do with all this? Well, not next month, not someday, but this week, how do we put this into practice? Well, number one, stop disqualifying ourselves. One of the biggest takeaways from today, I hope, is this. God is not waiting for us to be more talented, more confident, or more certain before he uses us. If we belong to Christ, we belong in the body, and there are no extra body parts. Not someday, not after a class, not after we figure it all out, but right now. We're all called to contribute, sometimes through our gifting, and sometimes simply through our availability. Some of us have been sitting on the sidelines. We have to admit that. We have to repent of that. Not because we don't care, but because we've been afraid of choosing the wrong thing. We're afraid to jump in because what if I choose something wrong? But Scripture never calls us to find the perfect fit. It calls us to take a faithful step. Number two, start with one step, not a lifetime commitment. Serving is not a life sentence. It's not signing our soul away. When you're back perusing the tables next week, which we're going to continue the service fair next week, when you're walking those tables, you're not making a lifetime commitment there. It's not saying yes forever. It's simply saying, God, I'm willing to start somewhere. This looks like a place where this might be somewhere where I can serve and advance the kingdom and be fruitful for the kingdom. Sometimes the best way to discover our gifting is not by taking another assessment, but by actually serving and seeing where God brings life in the midst of that. As we said earlier, three questions to ask ourselves. What needs do we notice? What kind of serving gives us life, even when it costs us? And where do others consistently say, that helped me, thank you? Those answers usually don't come in theory, they come in practice. And number three, let love, not need, be the motivation. This isn't about filling holes in a schedule. We're not in desperate need of volunteers. It's about reflecting the heart of Christ. Jesus didn't serve because there was a shortage of people. He served because he loved us. And when love is the motivation, service becomes the worship. Galatians 5:13 reminded us, through love, serve one another. So we don't step forward out of guilt. We step forward out of gratitude. And lastly, number four, take a step of faith. Here at Antrim, we want to make this as simple and approachable as possible. That's the whole reason we're doing the service fair. Next week after service, there will be tables set up in the back of our worship area. Each table represents a different ministry and serving opportunity in our church. And they're staffed by ministry leaders or people in the ministry, not recruiters, not, you know, professional, pressure-driven salespeople, just people who love to answer your questions, share their vision, and help us discern where we might fit and utilize either our gifting or our availability. Some of us already know where God is nudging us. Some of you are watching this and you know God has been speaking to you and where you need to go and serve. Others of us might just need to walk around, listen, ask some questions, and pray and ask God to give us clarity. Either way, that step matters. Even walking up to a table and saying, I don't know where I fit yet, but I want to learn is an act of faith. And for some of us, the step isn't signing up for something. It's simply being available. It's simply saying, hey, I'm here. If you need me, here's my name. Here's my number. Let me know if there's a need I can do. Yes, I'll help. Yes, I'll show up. Yes, I'll go and see where God leads me. Some of the opportunities in the back will require spiritual gifting. That's true. But some opportunities just need some people to say yes. We are called to contribute, sometimes through our gifting and sometimes simply through our availability. This week, we're going to send out a gifts survey through an email or text. It was in the bulletin, but obviously you don't have one. There was a QR code in the bulletin, so we'll send that out this week. This is to help you get started. If you don't know what your gift or gifts are, I never love these things because I don't think they give us a great picture of our spiritual gifting as much as just our natural giftings, but they can be helpful. This is only as accurate as you are honest, and it's not meant to restrict you. I mean, honestly, you could go and Google it right now, spiritual gifts test or gifts test, and you can take any of the ones online. I found one that I thought was pretty good, and I included a QR code to it. It's only a tool to help. And it's not the only thing that which should inform how we get involved or where we serve. Just because it says something doesn't mean that's 100% accurate or that's exactly where God's leading us. Imagine, though, if you could with me for just a moment as we finish here, what God could do through our church if every part was engaged. Not burned out, not pressured and guilt-driven, not compared, but loved, valued, and actively contributing. Can you imagine with me for a moment how some people in the ministry that they're already serving, that are already giving a little bit more than they're actually able to give, how they would feel when they see 3 or 5 or 15 people sign up to be a part of that ministry, how they feel just the burden of that ministry because they love it. They want to see it happen, but it's just been taking such a toll on them because others haven't, they've been sitting on the sidelines. They just haven't known where to get involved. How encouraged they're going to feel when people sign up and agree to get involved and the whole body begins to get activated. When each part is working properly, the body grows. Let's not walk away from this today inspired, but unchanged. Let's take one step together and trust God to do what only He can do with a willing believer. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the snow. How beautiful it is to look out and see everything just covered in white. It reminds me of what you've done for us, Lord. Yesterday, everything was brown. Everything was dying. Everything was dead. And this morning, it looks like new life. Everything's white. It's clean. It's beautiful. It's quiet. And Lord, I pray that as we look out at that, we're reminded of what you've done for us. And that would motivate us to action, not out of guilt, not because we feel pressured and we're mad at the pastor or the sermon series that we just want to sit on the sidelines or we feel like we retired from spiritual work and we don't want to have to do anything else. But Lord, I pray that we would, out of our love for you, out of what you have done for us, that we would be motivated to action. God, that we would enjoy the places that you send us because they give life, because we know that we're advancing your kingdom, that we're a part of extending love and grace and mercy to people who are in desperate need of it, Lord. I pray that we would each be effective in the ways that you've gifted us, and we'd also make ourselves available for the many needs in the church that don't require a special gift, but just need done. I pray that you would help us to be a faithful church who is faithful, not just in our Bible reading and our other things, but in the way that we serve and in getting involved in the work, Lord. I pray that you would bless us this day, keep everybody safe, Lord, if they have to travel, and that you would bless us all on this beautiful day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.